On July 3, 1988, an Iranian passenger plane was shot down by the United States Navy, killing all 290 people on board, including 66 children. As Iran marks the anniversary of this brutal attack by the U.S., we'll review other harsh actions that the consecutive U.S. administrations have taken against Iran, even though when they voice concern and care for the Iranian people.
The U.S. brought on one of the deadliest disasters in aviation history by shooting down an Iranian passenger plane in 1988. Iran Air Flight 655 was a civilian passenger flight en route from Tehran to Dubai. It was on its usual flight path on July 3rd when it was shot down by the United States Navy guided missile cruiser USS Vincennes. The incident took place in Iranian airspace over the country's territorial waters in the Persian Gulf. Vincennes destroyed the Iranian Airbus A300 by firing two surface-to-air missiles. One of the missiles hit the airliner, which exploded and fell in fragments into the water. All 290 people on board lost their lives, including 66 children. The U.S. government worked hard to justify the event. Washington claimed that the crew of Vincennes incorrectly identified the Iranian airliner as attacking F-14 fighter aircraft. The then U.S. Vice President George H.W. Bush in the Reagan administration defended the tragedy as a wartime incident and said American crew had acted appropriately to the situation. However, Vincennes' own Aegis combat system recorded that radio transmitter of the Iranian airliner was squawking on the civilian code only. It also recorded that at the time of the incident, the Iranian aircraft was climbing, not descending, as in an attack run. The Iranian government rejected the U.S. claims that the incident was an accident. Tehran said the attack amounted to international crime, was an atrocity, and a massacre. Iran said the U.S. cruiser negligently shot down the civilian aircraft. It also said the U.S. did not have the right to shoot down the airliner as it was flying within Iranian airspace and did not follow a path that was considered an attack profile. The U.S. only expressed regret over the attack. In February 1996, Washington agreed to pay more than $61 million in settlement to discontinue a case brought by Tehran in the International Court of Justice. The U.S. maintained that the compensation was not a legal duty and was only based on an ex gratia. Nearly three decades on, the United States has remained defiant to acknowledge any wrongdoing and never apologized to Iran over the attack that took so many civilian lives, including that of Iranian children. The U.S. even awarded the men of the Vincennes with Captain William Rogers awarded for his meritorious conduct in the performance of outstanding service as commanding officer.
Our guest joining us with this edition of the debate, former U.S. Army Psychological Warfare Officer Scott Bennett joins us from San Francisco. And we have columnist at The Hill, Brent Podolsky, who joins us from Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, welcome, Brent Podolsky. This was a horrible attack that killed almost 300 people. The U.S. was responsible for this. And at this point, I'd like to ask you, do you recall when that incident happened? What did the current, at that point, the then president, U.S. president, say about it? And what was your reaction to it at the time?
Well, what I recall is that they said, I believe correctly, that it was a horrible, terrible, and tragic accident, that it never should have happened. It was a tragedy to all concerned. They took responsibility for the fact of the accident, but they said it was an accident, and I happen to think it was. It's a terrible thing when people are killed at all, let alone in these plane crashes, let alone when they're children and women and others. And I just think it was one of those horrible things that sometimes happens. I'm glad the United States did make good with some compensation for the families. I think at least that was a good thing to do. But it was terrible. It was horrible. It was tragic. It was wrong. It was a mistake. It shouldn't have happened. And hopefully we'll get to the point where those kinds of mistakes are never again made.
Why did George Bush call it self-defense then?
Well, they may have honestly believed it was. There would be no motive to shoot down a civilian aircraft with women and children on it or anybody else that's a civilian. So I'm not surprised that they said that. Governments do those kinds of things sometimes. I think the important thing is if they had it to do over again, it wouldn't have happened. If everything had been done right the first time, it wouldn't have happened. My heart mourns for all of those who were killed. It was a horrible, tragic accident that never should have happened and hopefully won't ever happen again.
Well, Scott Bennett, your reaction to what Brent Podolsky there has said. And of course, before you answer, when Brent Podolsky says that he wishes for this not to happen again, well, there are so many incidents that have claimed civilian lives in some of the wars that the U.S. Is involved in. And of course, many say that's collateral damage. Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. Your reaction first, Scott Bennett.
Well, first of all, I was a United States Army officer. I worked at Air Force bases, and I know everything about planes and radio transmitters and Aegis defense systems. And to claim that this was an accident is an absolute insult to anybody's intelligence who served in a military role in a capacity, especially an officer. This was not an accident. This was an intentional shooting to provoke us into a war, as they did in the United States USS Liberty situation when Johnson, the Vice President Johnson, and the Israeli Zionist elements contributed and conspired to shooting up the USS Liberty to try and sink it to the bottom to provoke the US against Egypt. So to claim this was an accident is asinine, ludicrous, or a lie. This was not an accident. And George W. Bush was in charge. Reagan was going senile. George Bush was running for re-election. This was a few months before that. And George Bush was a warmonger. He was a terrible vice president and an even worse president. He was responsible for all sorts of bloodshed, all sorts of drugs and cocaine. He was implicated on all sorts of crimes from Panama, elsewhere. So George Bush was responsible for this. And when he says governments do this sort of thing, oh, please, governments who do this sort of thing should be hung, drawn, quartered, burned at the stake, buried, and drug up and done it to them all over again. The American people didn't want this. They never want this, and they do not want any similar action against Iran. Let's be very clear about this. So to claim this was an accident is asinine. It wasn't. There was a very calculated methodology and a purpose behind this. That was to try and provoke the United States into siding with Saddam Hussein in the Iraq war against Iran, to reclaim its colony of Iran that existed from the 1953 coup d'etat that the U.S. and the United Kingdom implemented to establish the Shah, which made Hitler look like a schoolgirl, and reclaim Iran. But that didn't happen. It showed enormous restraint that Iran didn't fall into that trap. And I think they're wise not to fall into traps like that in the future. But Iran also took them to court. That's why they don't want this to repeat, because America was taken to court. It was exposed the ship was in Iranian waters, and they had to pay $61.8 million or so. The same thing needs to happen now with Iran taking America to court about the 9/11 charge that they've tried to invoke against Iran. And let the United Nations and the international court look at that case. And we'll see once again, the leopard doesn't change its spots, and the liars can't stop telling lies, such as the other guest.
Brent Podolsky, go ahead.
Oh, I'm not going to dignify that garbage with an extended response. I'll simply say that, number one, there was no reason or motive.
Because he doesn't have the vocabulary or the military character.
May I finish? Let me finish. You can go after I'm done, okay? There was no motive or reason to do it. In fact, shortly after that several years, George W. Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, actually ended up defending Kuwait and invading Iraq to stop Saddam Hussein. He went to war with Saddam Hussein, not with Iran. So with all due respect, your history is a little confused. But beyond that, I'm going to just repeat. These kinds of things never should happen, nor should we have the kind of exploitive nonsense I just heard a few minutes ago from our other guest. He can say what he wants. He can believe what he wants. Let the audience decide. But we had no reason, no motive, and we regret that any innocent person died in a civilian aircraft. And I will add, there have been too many of these things, and there have been a lot of different countries who have been responsible for them, but that's for a different show another time.
Well, the thing is this, Scott Bennett, we can look at another incident that perhaps is greater in its scope, and that is the 8-year imposed war between Iran and Iraq, in which the U.S., along with some other countries, provided Iraq with these weapons that killed. We don't even know exactly how many Iranians really were killed, but it was over a million. A lot of Iranians were killed because of this. So this is another stain in U.S.'s report card when it comes to Iran, which makes a lot of Iranians, not have a very positive, obviously, view of Americans. Or America, I should say.
Well, I would say to Brent Podolsky, I've been to Iran. I don't think he has, but I've been to Iran, and I served in the military, and I had a top secret SCI clearance. I don't think he's had a top secret SCI clearance. I don't think he's worked in the State Department.
Actually, son, you don't know anything about me. I think you would be surprised if you found out certain things.
So when he gets the credentials that to do what I did, then he can comment on it. I'll say that Saddam Hussein was lured into Kuwait by George W. Bush, and that George W. Bush used that as an excuse to wage war upon him. So to claim that this was an innocent act and that somehow George Bush came to the rescue of freedom by attacking Saddam is another lie. That was a plot by the U.S. to goad Saddam Hussein into this and then betray him, as we've seen countless times. And look, I love this country, and I love the military because I've served, and I hate it when I see these sorts of elite, arrogant fools propped up by their equivalent stepbrothers in the media claiming that this is a moral crusade and that this is an accident. It's absolutely despicable and not. And the U.S., you've drawn a very accurate picture of the chemical weapons that the United States provided to Saddam Hussein back in the Iran-Iraq war. That should have been a major war crime. We should have American military politicians and military leaders dragged into The Hague, dragged into the Nuremberg court, and executed for crimes against humanity as the Germans were. Why didn't that happen in the United States in providing chemical weapons to Saddam Hussein, their proxy, and killing children and women in Iran is beyond laughability. It's a war crime, but you know, God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay. And he is repaying, and you're seeing a civil war in America, you're seeing a discombobulation and a fracturization in America because of these sorts of activities that American people do not want. And now I'll applaud one thing Mr. Badowski said, we don't like these things, they're tragic, great, put your money where your mouth is, sign a declaration, and put it on paper that says, we will never tolerate this again as American citizens. Uh-huh. We're in charge of this government, we're in charge of this in this country. And the whole chemical weapons thing is a great tragedy that should never have occurred. But I think it's being brought out more and more. The internet's bringing it out. More people in America and Europe are discovering a lot of the lies, and it's recalibrating our foreign policy. And that's why I don't think President Trump is going to wage any war against Iran, because he knows the entire world would stand against us like some monstrous Frankenstein retard. And I think he's going the opposite direction. Go ahead.
Okay, Brett Badowski, again, response to Scott Bennett there.
I think he's a little optimistic about President Trump and Iran, with all due respect. I think Trump is in many ways doing some of the very things, one way or the other, economically if not militarily so far,
that Netanyahu wants
that I
him
certainly
to do.
Wish he wouldn't be doing. No, it's not about that. You see, that's the problem, that life is not a conspiracy. And I do want to tell you one thing, son. In jobs that I've had, I knew secrets of America that you were
not
allowed
to
know because your
clearance wasn't
high enough.
Don't call me son. Only my father calls me son.
Because I don't like your attitude. You want to call me all kinds of names. I'm going to call you whatever.
You've ever known.
You didn't work for you didn't work in the places that I worked and had to oversee the covert actions at times that I had to oversee. And so I don't need lectures from you about who knows what.
I was involved in them.
Okay?
I fought them.
Now, the fact of the matter is, let me finish, and then you can go, that we have to put a stop, and I've written columns, by the way, and I've said on CNN, I've said on MSNBC, I've said on Press TV, I've even said on Russia TV, that we have to have a world where no child is killed by no bomb and no bullet, no matter who fires it, whether it's the United States firing it by mistake or somebody else. So I don't need lectures about that. I'm just telling you right now that what we have to do in this world is to stop the killing and stop the carnage. And I've said it in 100 places in 1,000 ways under my name and to the top people in the American government over many years. And I'm still saying it right now. We have to have a world where people stop killing each other, then blaming each other for killing other people, and then having more killing after the blame. And anybody that says that everyone's all right and somebody else is all wrong ain't telling you the truth. I hope that the United States and Iran can find a way to live together. I have been advocating that constructively and publicly and privately for a long time. And I regret that one child, one person died on that plane. Every American regrets that. Anything else is a lie.
Scott Bennett.
Well, I would support Mr. Brodowski's claim. We don't want these endless wars. We don't want fights. And I'd say it starts with the United States and Israel stopping the regime change agenda that's been following since the false flag attacks of September 11, 2001, in which they were designed to take down seven countries in 5 years. General Wesley Clark talked about that. And some of the people that I work for in the military talked about that. So we stop this by stopping the regime change in Syria, in Iraq, in Iran, in Afghanistan. And we let the Iranians alone. We let them do trade and economic life. We let them live according to their religious principles and politics. I was in Iran. I loved Iran. I met with Nader Talebzadeh and Press TV and many people. They are not the boogeyman that they've been let propagandized as. They are very calm, peaceful people, very wise. And I think they're going to bring enormous revelations to this world when they defend themselves in court against the 9/11 nonsense. But they're also showing the world that they're not the Wahhabi boogeymen that Saudi Arabia is, because Saudi Arabia is responsible for all of these regime change destabilizations from Libya to Syria. It's been Saudi Arabia. I know. I've got friends of mine and soldiers on the ground who were reporting it. I know because I was tracking the money from Saudi Arabia princes and bank accounts through Union Bank of Switzerland back into the battlefield. I saw it and I wrote it and I sent it to Congress, shellgamewhistleblower.com. Mr. Brodowski needs to go there and read up on my report, shellgamewhistleblower.com. And Shell Game exposed all of this stuff, and it's now coming to fruition. That's one of the reasons that McCabe and the FBI and all of these guys were scrambling to invent a false Russian narrative because of the Hillary Clinton connections to all of this. But I'd say moving forward, we're seeing peace in the Middle East because Iran and Russia and China and Syria are stabilizing into a bloc that is about sovereignty and the maintenance of cultures, religion, economic systems outside of the U.S. dollar. We're seeing European nations inclining that way because they've been destabilized by the cannibalistic hordes that have been sent up by George Soros and Saudi Arabia into Europe. And Europeans are going the way of Russia, and I think it's out of a response to what they've suffered under the U.S. political regime change that's been going on for 18 years. Okay. Now, we don't want to see a repeat of any sort of shootings, but we also have to talk about these things now so that those military commanders in the Mediterranean and the Iranian Persian Gulf do not make the same mistake as they did in 1988 when George Bush Sr. did this as part of a planned, plotted operation. It was no accident.
Okay. Brent Brodowski, you know, we're looking at Iran.
I just want to repeat. Hold on one second. I just want to repeat briefly for the record. George H.W. Bush did not do it as a planned, plotted operation. That is absolutely false. Next question.
Next question. We're looking at 40
so
years
for
Iran.
So was the USS Liberty. Was that an accident and false?
Will you tell us what happened with the USS Liberty, Brent Brodowski?
I don't know what happened with the USS Liberty.
Okay, I'll tell you what I've read here.
This idea. No, I don't have time for propaganda during my time. You can do propaganda during your time.
It's not propaganda. I was going to quote something.
Why are you afraid of the USS Liberty? That's very important to know. What happened to the USS Liberty?
I'm not
please,
afraid
sir,
of it.
Tell
but
us.
I want you to.
Please
I want you
us.
To propaganda. I want you to. I
you
want
claim
you
to be a journalist and to be intellectual.
Time.
Certainly, you've
not
read history.
Not on my time.
Talk about USS
there are
Liberty.
Not conspiracies by America to start these. There are not conspiracies
USS
by
Liberty
America
happened.
To start every war that you can find. There is not peace in the Middle East right now. I don't know where you got that from, but I wish there were, but there isn't. Some of us are still working to try to get
it. Well, that's how we do it.
But to blame, that's how you do what? Blame America first? Yeah, maybe you do. That's not my point,
no,
though.
No, you establish peace in the Middle East by coalitions and countries.
You don't have a peace by Russian dictators and Syrian mass murderers. I'm sorry. Think that.
Russia has saved Syria and stabilized the world and stabilized Europe.
Fine.
Russia has done more for Europe.
That's your view.
I think in the last 18 years.
All right, we got a few minutes left here.
Let
me jump in.
View.
I'm sorry. Let me jump in. Brent Brodowski, we're looking at 40 years from the Islamic Republic and the revolution that happened up to now. And Brent Brodowski, you know, Iran has been going through sanctions for quite some time. Now, the generation that we're looking at right now, it's seeing how sanctions, even though the U.S. says is leveled not against the Iranian masses or the Iranian general public, to affect them. They've gone through that cycle now, And now it's getting to the point that it's reached boiling point. They're not happy about the sanctions, but they're seeing the source of those sanctions being the U.S. Now, the difference this time around is that Iran went to the negotiating table and it got burnt by the U.S. Why do you think then that the U.S. Is going to, in any shape or form, be successful getting Iran to come to the table again? Is that what it wants, or does it have ulterior motives?
Well, I don't know that President Trump knows exactly what he wants. What I will say is, and understand, I am in the Democratic resistance in the United States. I'm not a Trump guy. I supported the Iranian nuclear agreement. I hope it is salvageable. I hope the Europeans are working to salvage it. An important point, I do believe that that issue will come up at the NATO meeting, which I expect to be a pretty raucous meeting, to be honest about it. But I hope that there is a way to do it. I don't want to have these sanctions. I don't want to have endless conflict. I do want to have a way where Iran does things that the United States would consider in its interest. The United States would do things that Iran considers in its interest, that right now we can restore the agreement that I don't think it was wise to end. I do think it was wise for President Obama and the Europeans and others to begin. So I want to get back to where we were a few months ago and then try to move forward from there. That is a minority view. I freely confess I am in the Democratic resistance in the United States. I am not a Trump man. I'm in the opposition.
Well, let me tell you something, Scott Bennett. I can't reveal my sources, but U.S. officials are picking up the phone. They are calling companies and that are withdrawing from Iran, thanking them for withdrawing from Iran by not doing business with them and saying, you know what? We're going to compensate you for the business that you have lost for pulling out of Iran. That's how far the U.S. is going. You tell me how that doesn't affect mainstream Iranians.
Well, I would say that's illegal. That's unconstitutional because the United States government is stealing from the American taxpayer to pay, bribe U.S. companies from pulling out. That's absolutely obscene. There should be congressional hearings and an audit. And if that's happening, there should be a determination if that is illegal and unconstitutional, because that should not happen. The American people do not want a war with Iran. They do not want a conflict with Iran. That's why they voted for Trump. And if he's too stupid to recognize that and turn away from the war agenda, he'll be a one-term president, and he deserves to be. The American people are sick and tired of these conflicts because they didn't want it in the first place. The entire 9/11 attack was a false flag event, artificially contrived, and I know I was there at the Pentagon the next day. So this thing that they've been doing to Iran, I think, is going to fizzle out. It's going to be a flash in the pan because no American person is behind this. No one wants this sort of fight. And I'd say this. One of the ways forward is when President Putin and President Trump meet in Helsinki, Finland, and have a summit, which we've been talking about for a year. And I'm glad to hear they're finally listening to us. They're having a summit and they talk. The next thing they should do is have a summit once again with America, Russia, and Iran. Bring Iran in. Let's really build a community discussion, a community of nations. So the United States, Russia, and Iran. Hey, if you want to bring the United Kingdom on a leash, bring them too. And then maybe have a third with China. That's how you create consensus and political dialogue that's based on respect and mutual interest, as Mr. Bradowski commented on. Uh-huh. And I appreciate all the stories that he sent to John Podesta in the Clinton campaign. I'm glad to say that it failed and that Trump was elected, because he's better than anything Clinton would ever have been, but he's also
so
not perfect.
Trump, huh? You
so
want
we're
Trump.
Trying to guide him
you
to
want
make
Trump.
Some positive effects.
You think
well,
Iran is better
I believe
with
in
Trump,
family
huh?
and marriage between a man and a woman, not what Hillary Clinton's rabid lesbianism.
Okay, I got to jump in,
I don't believe in warmongering because I was a warrior.
Sorry, Scott Bennett, former U.S. Army psychological warfare officer there.
Thank you.
And columnist at The Hill, Brent Bradowski. Thank you. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitale, my entire team in the capital of Tehran, goodbye.